Tonight I want to spend just a few moments looking at a passage of Scripture which I don't intend to exposit this evening, but rather to use as a suggestion as to where our thoughts should go as we prepare ourselves to partake of this ordinance. And that passage is Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The book of Hebrews is extremely important because it opens up for us the real meaning behind the Old Testament Levitical law and system that God had ordained for the Old Testament people of God. It was a system that consisted of types and shadows and symbols, all pointing to something spiritual and real, but to something that had not yet come, that had not yet been fully revealed. Every aspect of Old Testament worship under the Mosaic economy, as established in the Levitical system, was significant and had some reference to salvation, this so great salvation, which would be worked out and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Hebrews 8, just like all of Hebrews, we find another reminder of that very thing, and we find in the first three verses these words. He says, "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer." Here in this verse, there are three things mentioned, and the very three things that are mentioned were the most important features of the Mosaic system, of the Levitical system of the Old Testament people. Without any one of these three pillars, these three principal parts of their religion, if you will, the Old Testament religion, the whole thing would collapse. And those three things are the tabernacle, the priesthood, and the sacrifices. These things were principal and pivotal, and all of the Old Testament sacrificial system was built upon these three things: the tabernacle, the priesthood, and the sacrifices. These were exceedingly precious to the believing Jews in the Old Testament. Now, in this text, but not just here, elsewhere throughout the book of Hebrews and other places in the New Testament, it is intimated, and sometimes even very explicit, that each of these three things, the tabernacle, the priesthood, that is the high priesthood, and the sacrifices, are all fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. What those three things were to the Old Testament people of God, that is what Christ is to us in the New Testament, in this time of fulfillment. The tabernacle pointed to the Lord Jesus. The high priest and his office and his work pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifices also pointed to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to take just a few moments this evening to consider each of these before we observe the Lord's Supper, and also see how these things, as they point to Christ, are precious to us as well in their fulfillment. First of all, consider, Christ is our tabernacle. What the tabernacle was to the Old Testament people of God, Christ is to the New Testament people of God. Our text says that the true tabernacle is that which the Lord pitched and not man, and this has reference in other places to the very nature, the human nature of Christ. And Jesus himself, the Messiah, says in another place to his Father, "A body hast thou prepared for me." And you remember, even when the Lord Jesus ministered among the people during his time on earth, he said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." And it says in the text that he was referring to his body. In Revelation chapter 21:3, we hear these words, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he," the tabernacle, "will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." what the Jewish tabernacle and temple was to the Old Testament people of God, the dwelling place of God. That is what Christ is to us in these New Testament days. And as we are united to this one called Jesus Christ, we become living stones of that temple. We become part of his body. But the Lord Jesus Christ is in and of himself the dwelling place of God. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we can say that even in these days, the tabernacle of God is with men. It's no longer a structure made out of canvas or animal skins. It's no longer a structure made out of stone. It is a temple that was made without hands. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now consider for a moment. The Jewish temple or tabernacle was the only place on earth where God dwelt in a special, peculiar manner. It was the only place where he could be approached by way of a mercy seat, whereby there would be and could be forgiveness of sins. It was the only place where offerings could be acceptably presented. It was the only place where he had ordained for sinners to seek him that he might be found. This is why the godly Jews of old, whenever they prayed, they would always pray by turning their faces toward Jerusalem. Because that is where they were praying to. Mount Zion, the dwelling place of Jehovah, the temple. Now consider that in terms of what we have in the New Covenant days. Fuller revelation. We understand the tabernacle, the temple, the dwelling place of God, the place where there is the mercy seat, is the Lord Jesus himself. In him alone dwells the fullness of the Godhead. God can only be found and can only be approached acceptably in him. He is the tabernacle of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but through him. We have access to the Father in him alone. In him alone we are accepted. And whenever we pray to him, we pray with our pray to the Father. We pray with our eyes toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the old covenant Jew prayed with his eyes toward Jerusalem, we pray looking to Christ, who is the tabernacle of God. And it is only in Christ that our prayers are accepted, that we have access to God. And so we pray in Jesus' name, precisely because all of our prayers, we know, can only be acceptable through him. He is the true tabernacle and the true temple. Now, secondly, Christ is our high priest as well. He's not just the tabernacle, the temple, but he is our high priest. And all that the Levitical high priests were to the Jews of old, Christ is to us today and more. This is something which, of course, I don't need to belabor. I don't need to read scripture after scripture to show you, because you know this is the case. And the book of Hebrews is all about this, showing the superiority of Christ and how he is the one and only and forever high priest. We don't need these earthly priests any longer. We have the priest that those priests symbolized and pointed to. But he says here, every high priest is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer up gifts and sacrifices for sin. The priests were, in the Old Testament, an inferior sense to Christ. They were a kind of mediator between God and worshipers. Only they were permitted to approach God and offer up sacrifices on people's behalf. You remember King Uzziah? King Uzziah, a godly man, one of the good kings, reigned a long time. King Uzziah got to the point where he thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and offer a sacrifice myself. I'm not going to go through the priest this time. What happened? God struck him with leprosy. Doesn't matter how powerful you were, didn't matter how godly you were not allowed to offer up sacrifices apart from the priest. You weren't allowed to do it. God would not accept it. Even King David was not able He wasn't even able to build the temple because his hands were bloody, but he wasn't able to offer up sacrifices to God. These sacrifices must come through the priest. In fact, even if you had a thank offering, to just thank God, not a trespass offering, not an offering that would atone for your sin or cover your sin, even just a thank offering, you weren't even allowed to offer that apart from the priesthood. Now, do you see how this was pointing also to the Lord Jesus Christ? He is our great high priest, the true and forever priest. He's the one great mediator between God and sinful men, and there is no access to God for our persons or for our prayers, even our praises, even our thanksgiving. All of it must be offered to God through Christ and by Christ as our mediator. In fact, that's what we read in Scripture so often. We're instructed that whatever we do in word or deed, we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father by Him. Why? We are just as much in need of a mediatorial high priest now as the Old Testament people were. And sometimes we lose sight of that because we don't have the visible. We worship God in spirit and in truth, and there is an invisible quality to the kind of faith that we have in the new covenant. In the old covenant, they had a visible person. And so we lose sight oftentimes of the fact that we're just as much dependent upon a priesthood as the old covenant people were. But this priest, we can't see him. He has ascended into heaven. He is in heaven ministering now on our behalf. But we still need him. And every time we go to God in prayer, every time we offer up praises in this place, every time we ask for forgiveness, it's all based on that intercessory work and mediatorial work of our great high priest. He takes our prayers and our praises, and you know what he does with them? He purifies them before they ever reach the nostrils of our Heavenly Father, so to speak. He purifies our prayers so that they become a sweet-smelling savor to the Father. All of the impurities, all of the corruption, all of the man-pleasing, all of the half-heartedness is filtered all away. And we stand in the presence of our Heavenly Father, clothed in His righteousness, and all of our acts of service are purified and made acceptable by our High Priest, who continues to live to make intercession for us. He appears before God for His people. In Revelation, John gives us a colorful description of Christ's ongoing work. John, in his vision there, sees Christ as the great angel of the new covenant, the great messenger of the new covenant, offering up the prayers of all the saints, which were symbolized by the incense. The prayers of God's people come up to heaven, but they come through Christ. And then He, in turn, offers them to the Heavenly Father. And so He is and continues to be our great high priest. Now, thirdly, consider also there's not only the tabernacle and the priesthood. Christ is our tabernacle. He is our high priest. But He is also our atoning sacrifice. Our text says here that the high priests of old had to have something to offer to God. And they did. They offered up to God the appointed sacrifice for the sins of the people. And this was symbolic of Christ and His high priestly work. What did Christ offer to God as our priest? He offered up Himself. And so, as we mentioned this morning, He is not only the sacrificer, He is the sacrifice Himself. He offers up His body, His blood, His life. And based on that, we have remission. We have forgiveness of sins. And we don't need a high priest to continually go in and offer sacrifices over and over and over again, because all of those Old Testament priests and sacrifices were just symbols. They could never take away sin. They only pointed to the one who would, once and for all time, remove sin. And so He, by offering up Himself, obtained eternal redemption for us, according to this very same book that we're looking at, the book of Hebrews. So by this offering up of himself, he made a real atonement for sin. Every repentant believer is freely and fully forgiven by the blood of Christ. Now, as we consider these three things, that Christ is the true tabernacle, the true priest, and the true sacrifice, of which the Jewish tabernacle, the Jewish priesthood, and the Jewish sacrifices were only types, we need to conclude, before we observe the Lord's Supper, with some words of encouragement. Think about how precious and how encouraging these things would have been to an Old Testament believer. I'm not talking about to the spiritually uncircumcised in the Old Testament, those who were part of the external covenant but were really not true believers. I'm not talking about them. But I am talking about people like Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, and Mary and Joseph, and others in the Old Covenant period of time, David. How precious these things would have been to them. And I think that they're not as precious to us because we never lived then. We don't think in those terms anymore. And like I said, because they're not visible to our eyes, we tend to forget that the realities that those things point to still exist. And one of those realities is this. We cannot deal with God directly. That's a reality. Apart from a mediator, we need a priest. We can't deal with God directly. God does not communicate to us directly either. He communicates through a mediator. Do you believe that? Now, we forget about that. We have in our day this idea that God is this big cosmic teddy bear. He's a great, big, wonderful God. And all the little kids from the time they're little begin to think of God more in terms of a stuffed animal than they do in terms of the awesome, the completely holy and separate God who cannot be approached directly under pain of death and annihilation in his very presence. We don't think that way anymore. We should, because we'd appreciate Christ a lot more if we did. Christ is the mediator between God and man. There must be a mediator. This is the way it is. So, think about this. How precious was the tabernacle to the Old Testament saints? Without it, they might have said to themselves, how can we ever approach God? Does he even want us to approach him in our condition? But they would have said to themselves this, since God has appointed this tabernacle to be built and to be raised up and to be a place where he will make in a special way his own habitation, since he dwells on the mercy seat, as it were, in this temple, and he has ordained that it be so, since he has set up this whole system whereby we might be able to approach him and commune with him and have our sins forgiven, well, then let us come boldly. Let us come confidently. See, all the other pagan religions of the day, did they ever have a God who actually gave them the measurements of their temple? Did they ever have a God say to them, I want you to build a temple for me because I truly desire to commune with you, my people? Did they ever have a God that did that? Well, of course not, because there were no other gods. So they built their temples anyway. But they built their temples on their own terms. And if they were a pagan thinking correctly, they probably should have been thinking, I built this temple. I really hope it pleases him. I don't know if he really wants to hear from me or answer my prayers. I don't have any confidence about it. I'm going to go tiptoeing into this temple and hope that maybe my God will care about me. Now contrast that with the Jewish person who knew the true and living God. This God did not leave it up to them to figure out a way to approach him. He said, I want you to approach me. I want you to have communion with me. I give you the specifications on how to build this special structure and how to go about offering up these sacrifices, precisely because I do want in some sense to dwell with my people. And what an encouragement to a believing Jew. oh, I can come confidently now because God is the one who ordained this. I didn't make this up. I'm coming to the very place that God has ordained and established whereby he might connect with us, whereby he might be with us and bless us. Well, that's exactly how we ought to view the Lord Jesus Christ. We reason this way. We say, since God dwells in our nature, the man, Jesus Christ, the tabernacle of God is with men. And since he dwells there as a God of mercy and a God of grace and a prayer-hearing God, since through that tabernacle there is forgiveness of sins, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, then I will come boldly. I will come confidently. I will be encouraged to know that he is willing and ready to receive me through this one whom he has ordained. The Father is willing to receive all those, and he is able to receive and will receive all those who approach him through his ordained mediator, his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine any Jew saying, I know that God has established this tabernacle. This is how he wants us to commune with him. This is how we're to approach him. And I know there's a mercy seat in there, and I know all about the sacrificial system. But, you know, I think I'm going to go build my own structure. I think I'm going to go to Home Depot and put up a steel pole building here in the wilderness and have my own altar. And I'm sure that God will respect it because it's something I'm really going to pour in my blood, sweat, and tears. No, that's blasphemous talk. Unthinkable. And everyone who seeks to have acceptance with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ is doing exactly that. And there's no confidence in it. In fact, there's everything in the Word of God to warn us. You will perish if you mess around with that. You will perish. You must come to God, and he's willing for you to come to him. As long as you come to him through his mediator, his ordained priest that he ordained forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now we have a second encouragement as we think not only upon the tabernacle, but upon the priesthood. What an encouragement to the Old Testament saints the priesthood would have been. They might have thought to themselves, we're too sinful, we're too polluted, we can't possibly approach God with acceptance apart from someone to help us and plead our cause. In and of ourselves, we cannot go to God directly. And so they hear about this established priesthood. Once again, God is saying to the people, you don't need to perish. You don't need to live your entire life separated from me. I want to establish communion with you. And here is how it is to be done. It is to be done through the high priest, this mediator. And the people would say, wonderful, wonderful. We actually have a connection with our God. We can actually be blessed by him. We can offer up sacrifices and offerings to him. We can express our joy and our love for him in an acceptable way through the priesthood that he has established. We don't think like that today. We take it for granted. But we need to be reminded, because this impinges on the spiritual reality of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he is continually doing even now, whether we're thinking about it or not thinking about it, whether we appreciate it or not appreciate it. His high priestly intercession right now is as regular as your heartbeat. And you don't think about your heartbeat very much, do you? The Son is infinitely worthy and is ever ready to receive and present to the Father our petitions, our requests, all of our praise. He's entered the Holy of Holies on our behalf, and he stands there with his own blood in his hand, sprinkles. His blood is called the blood of sprinkling precisely because it's referring to the mercy seat. Now the priest would sprinkle it on the mercy seat, which then becomes what? our propitiation, satisfies the wrath of God toward us. He is a propitiation for our sins. He is a mercy seat for our sins. We would be annihilated instantly if we entered that holy place, that most holy place, on our own without our high priest. We would be struck dead. And that is how much we depend upon him. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He purifies our persons and our offerings and is continually doing so. Now think thirdly of what an encouragement the sacrifices were to the Old Testament saints. Without this ordinance of God, a believing Jew might think to himself, I've sinned away my grace. I've forfeited my life. God's going to require this sin at my hand. I can never redeem myself. I can never be redeemed. How can I ever think that I should dwell in the house of the Lord forever and that the goodness of the Lord would pursue me and follow me all the days of my life? How can I ever even possibly begin to think that, seeing how much of a sinner I am? They might have thought that, were it not for the fact that God revealed in this system of sacrifices, it wasn't something they made up, like the pagans, something God established. And knowing that God established it, they then would not live each and every day in fear like the pagans. Because they made it up, they never were sure if this was really going to work or not. Am I going to please him? Am I not going to please him? I don't know. This whole thing may not even be legitimate. The believing Jew had every comfort and encouragement in knowing that this whole thing had been ordained by God, and God, in his very ordaining it, was telling them, I love my people. I love my people. I don't want them to be destroyed. I want to save them. I want to commune with them. I want to bless them. My holiness demands that they be judged, but I want to bless them. And the Old Testament tabernacle, priesthood, and sacrificial system was all picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. How that in him, God is able to be just and the justifier. God is now able to satisfy his justice by pouring out his wrath on the sacrifice, Christ himself, and show mercy and grace to those for whom the sacrifice was made. And so God, in that whole system, was saying, sinner, you do not need to perish. I have a ransom. I have provided it myself. Trust in this. Trust in what I have provided for you. Christ is our tabernacle, our priest, our sacrifice. Without him, we have no access to God. We have no acceptance with God. We have no atonement, no forgiveness of our sins. So as we come to this table this evening, let us consider our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would suggest that you consider him in these terms and consider how precious he therefore is to us. Whether we always count him so or not, he is, and continues to act his part on our behalf. Ask yourself, is he worthy? Then all who trust in him will be regarded as worthy. Is he accepted? Then all persons, along with all their services who believe on him, are accepted in the Beloved One. Will the Father hear his only begotten Son, the appointed high priest? Then, brethren, you can be encouraged. He will hear you for Jesus' sake. And since we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed into the heavens, let us hold fast our profession without wavering and come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray.